My name is Andrew Lee. I'm a professor of journalism at American University in Washington, D.C., and I've been a Wikipedia editor since 2003, and I've been coming to Wikimania since 2005. Yeah, in recent years I've been doing more and more with video and Wikipedia. And a lot of this happens to me because I teach multimedia in a journalism school, and I found increasingly students were trying to find ways for their work to be seen by more folks. And I said, what better place is there than Wikipedia? And I started to look into it, and I never really thought about how much video was in Wikipedia until maybe 3 years ago, when I was talking to Ward Cunningham, the man who invented wikis, and he was looking into the same question. And we realized there's only a tiny fraction of Wikipedia articles in the English language that have video. So if you count today, of the 4.5 million articles in English language Wikipedia, maybe 6,000 of them have video of any kind. So we're talking about 0.1 or 0.2% of Wikipedia articles have video. And for the people who casually use Wikipedia, when's the last time you ever saw video in Wikipedia? It's actually quite rare to see one. So if you look at the articles for football or dance or about anything with human body movement, you'll find it's actually very hard to find any videos. And that's quite strange if you think about it. So when you read about ballet, shouldn't you also watch what ballet looks like instead of still pictures, instead of descriptions? We're in the 21st century now. You don't have to wonder what this looks like. We have the technology. Even in the most inexpensive cell phones, we have the ability to view video. The problem is we don't have a culture of multimedia creation in Wikipedia right now. We have a very good 10-plus-year-old text-based contributing community, but we really don't have the expertise in video. That's mainly because video is quite hard. It's actually not that hard to turn on your camera and start filming. But if you want to do anything complex and do a story, it can get quite intimidating very quickly. And then on top of that, there are technical hurdles to actually get your video from your cell phone or from your camera through the whole process of encoding it into a format that Wikipedia will accept. So all these little hurdles of the cognitive load of whether you know how to tell a visual story, and then the technical hurdles of getting the video off of your phone, onto a computer, convert it, upload it, understand Wikimedia Commons, and then embed it into an article. Every single step of the way, you lose about 10%, maybe 20% of your audience, until you're left with pretty much no one at the end of it, unless you're really determined and love video. So that's what I'd like to try to change, and there's gonna be a lot of hurdles to overcome. So we have technical hurdles, we have usability hurdles, but there are some things we just can't fix. The fact that MPEG-4 is the most popular video format in the entire world, it's baked into our cell phones, it's a very high quality way of encoding video, but it's not acceptable by the Wikimedia community because it is not open source. It's a patent encumbered format. And I can understand that, and I actually agree with that, but that means that we're going to have a stall or a delay in how much video we can actually see in Wikipedia anytime soon. So that's something that we have to try to address at places like this, like Wikimania, and also working with other video folks from around the world. And there are different efforts in Netherlands, in Germany, in the US, trying to solve this problem. And I think we're finally starting to get some critical mass to address this, whether it's open source software, whether it's better training materials, better tools that we create to make the process easier, or tutorials to try to teach people that video is fun and it's worth the hardship and the effort to learn all these little technical features to get the video on Wikipedia. I hope that the next 10 years that we have in front of us embraces multimedia and interactivity and video in a major way. Because I do think that we may not have a Wikimania in 10 years from now if we still think that it is primarily a text-based encyclopedia that doesn't need to evolve into these areas. Because you don't need that many people to maintain a 5 million, 6 million entry encyclopedia. Right? You have new news entries, you've got sports entries, you've got popular culture. But if you've done all the heavy lifting on the text, what community is left? Right? We don't need as many editors last year than we have this year. But we do need folks to experiment with multimedia, with video, with interactivity to make Wikipedia come alive. And something that just came to me and a lot of other folks at this conference is when we saw some folks working in Africa, and there's one professor here going up to Namibia to do oral citations and oral history of folks, get a great point saying that Wikipedia has this kind of systemic bias because only people who can read, who are literate, can benefit from the knowledge that is in Wikipedia. So in fact, we have a whole bunch of people we're not serving, and we could serve them better if they had video, so that they could have access to the digital technology, but they don't have to know how to read. They can watch things, they can have video tutorials, they can have documentaries that we make. And I think we can have an amazing collaborative video documentary environment within the Wikimedia community if we put our minds to it. And I think that's what's exciting. That is the missing piece of multimedia creation, is collaborative video production. We really don't have that. Whether you're talking about open source software or very expensive paid for software or commercial software, even the highest end software out there that consumers can buy does not have collaborative capabilities. So we need to really look into that area and find ways for either open source developers or the commercial sector to provide solutions to collaborate in the video domain, and that's why I'm so excited. So the Wiki Makes Video project is something that I started when I realized that the techniques that I was teaching my journalism students on how to shoot good, short video stories for news purposes were actually quite useful for Wikipedians as well. So if they were interested in shooting how do you knit a sock or a sweater, or how do you go out there and make a certain dish in your kitchen, the same techniques that you use for video journalism can be used by Wikipedians to film these things. So that's not just turning on a camera and having it record for 2, 3, 4 straight minutes. That's quite boring video, and most people wouldn't sit through that. But to actually move the camera deliberately to get good shots, to record those things, to edit together, to tighten it up, finish it, and upload to Wikipedia so we have high quality video instruction or video tutorials on things. That's what my goal was. But even outside of that, if you're not good at shooting and editing, even if you see good video that is either public domain or Creative Commons in Wikimedia Commons, at least take those videos and embed them into appropriate Wikipedia articles. So those are the two activities I'm encouraging, is either shoot and produce your own videos, or clip and embed videos that are finished already and the rights have been cleared into Wikipedia articles. And then the third very simple thing that people can do is just to suggest. Even if you're not familiar with video, if you see articles that really should have a video, like ballroom dancing or salsa or cricket, these all should have visuals that explain how the game is played, and to show the artistry and the beauty in these topics. So I think this is what I want to try to do, is to create a culture of video content creation within English Wikipedia at least, and then hopefully we can branch it out to other areas. It's tough. I was at a meeting today of a discussion room with Commons folks in it. Now, there are certainly a lot of the Commons folks are more on the technical data geek metadata side. You have a lot of those folks who are photographers. And I wasn't clear on how many people they were actually interested in video. And at one point, the facilitator there asked the room, you know, how many people here uploaded a picture? And it's 95% of the room. Even if folks are not true photographers, it's fairly straightforward. And then he asked, how many people here have uploaded a video? And of the 60, 65 people in the room, less than 10 raised their hands. To me, that was quite surprising. I thought it would be a little bit more than that, but it wasn't. So it means that only about 9 people raised their hands, and even one person joked, well, that counts for all the video in Wikimedia Commons, because there's not that many, right? In fact, there's another presentation by the folks from the Netherlands Sound and Vision Archive saying that they had 2,200 uploads of the 50,000 videos in Wikipedia. That means they account for about 4 to 5% of all uploads. That's one institution accounts for almost 5%. That shows how few videos there are, that we actually need a lot more institutions getting involved with this type of thing. So how do we get individual editors involved with this? You know, the funny thing is that you actually don't have that many people outside of Wikipedia even doing good videos. You might have short little bites and they'll share them on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or Vine, and it's starting to get more popular. We have young folks uploading videos to YouTube, so we basically need to find a way to get those folks who are interested in video production and say, hey, we have not only room for you in Wikipedia, we actually want you involved with the process of filming stuff out there. But it is quite complex. You know, there's bigger issues now with trying to shoot, edit, and upload a video that complies with the Wikimedia Commons very strict standards about no fair use, and if you're filming with incidental music in the background, I can imagine a Commons editor would come by and delete that video saying, oh, there's a part of a popular song in the background, and whereas in the United States, where I operate, you know, that is completely okay under fair use. You don't have to pay or get permission from anyone if there just happens to be, you know, a Michael Jackson song in the background. But if you go by the strict copyright rules of Wikimedia Commons, you might have problems with those types of things. So I think the issues around intellectual property in video is even more complicated, especially since a lot of our stuff also deals with public art and monuments, and what do you film in there that is not cleared for copyright. It gets quite tricky quite quickly. So that means that not only do you have to understand the technical parts of doing video, you have to understand the legal ins and outs of video, which can get very complex. I wish I knew the whole scope of what we need to do for that. And the problem with bringing my habits from journalism school, which definitely exercise fair use to the limits, and then having to train not only my students but other folks to move to Commons as the place where things get launched, where you want to make sure you're universally accessible, universally viewable, those are very different concerns, right? So it's a good question. I think we need more experience there. We need more video creators to push those boundaries. But even then, there have been some moves forward in that area. So in the United States, I have a colleague at my university who's the expert on fair use, and they've come out with a best practices for fair use in documentary film. And it used to be that independent documentary makers in the US were scared to death of putting in anything close to being copyrighted by someone else in their documentaries. But now they've almost banded together for this document saying, here's what we believe to be the boundary of fair use, and we're willing to push our luck this far. And so far the recording industry and the folks who own music and other assets have been accepting of those boundaries being pushed. So maybe we could have that same effect, that the Wikimedia Foundation can say, hey, we know that there are boundaries, but we think here are the boundaries, and with Wikipedia being so influential now, we could actually help push those boundaries back and say, these are the best practices, we have these boundaries not because we want to violate your copyrights, but these are reasonable requests to ask of anyone who owns copyright, that if it happens to show you in the background of a scene, we don't have to pay you, we don't have to get permission for these things. And I hope that can be resolved somehow without bringing in lawyers. But you never know, we're in a new territory, let's put it that way. It's tough. It's right now we are bottlenecked by the fact that you need to use one of two formats, right? AUG or WebM. Neither of them are good for using in mainstream editing programs like Adobe Premiere or Max Final Cut Pro. So we lose a lot in terms of the remixability, right? So it's one thing if you take your video, you produce it, or even if you take the clips and you encode them into WebM or AUG and you upload them to Wikimedia Commons. But if someone wants to come along and reuse that, they've got to transcode back from WebM to something that is used by professional editor, or not professional, but conventional video editors. And it's almost like you're using VHS tape at that point. You're losing a whole generation of quality. It's just unacceptable for anyone who cares about video quality. So we're in a real quandary in that way, that not only do we not have a collaborative environment, but we don't even have a shareable environment that's good. That's worrying. So we can do one of a number of things. One of them, which we probably don't want to do, is just wait out the patent on MP4 and wait till it expires, and then we can use MP4. There's no guarantee Commons would even allow MP4 after the patent expires, but that's one of the possibilities. But then also to try to find some developer or for-profit company, or commercial company, that'll help develop this software around supporting WebM natively. As you mentioned, VP9 might be a possibility. Google owns VP9, is trying to push it forward by giving it away, right? Knowing that if they give it away and people say, oh, if I don't have to pay Google anything, why not bake it into a processor in my mobile chip or in my laptop graphics card? Then suddenly this open, I don't even want to call it open source, because it may not be open source, but this open format now has support in hardware, and suddenly it's that much easier to spread that around, and maybe WebM becomes a standard faster and starts to supplant MP4. It's hard to imagine that happening considering how dominant MP4 is now and how Google really doesn't control the hardware of mobiles and desktop computers and laptops that much, but it's possible. So those are some scenarios, but in either case, there's no easy way forward. We actually do have some obstacles before we have a real seamless video environment. We can exchange files and re-edit and remix and re-upload. There's still a lot of conversions back and forth. There's still a lot of technical knowledge you need to understand bit rates and 720p and 1080p and all these things. So I'd be interested to see if anyone else has any solutions to this, because right now it's very technical. It's very laden in proprietary formats versus open formats, and there's no solution easily coming around the corner. I think there's a chance, because if you look at the RFC for MP4, it was about a 40%, 40 to 60. Of course, that 60% was very, 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 very determined to say no MP4 ever, whereas the other folks in the 40% were a mix of folks who said some MP4, yes, MP4, and so forth. I think there's some interesting ideas at this conference. So I was talking to some folks, and we said, what if we had kind of a tool server for content, for example? So right now the problem is, if you want to upload and collaborate on video, you have to deal with the gauntlet that is Wikimedia Commons, right? It has to abide by all these guidelines for finished, publishable content. But that's not what we're looking for, right? If we are looking to have you share some video with me and me share some video with you, and I upload MP4 format, as long as that server that we upload it to isn't accessible to the public and we're not serving it out there as the format that we're endorsing, I think that's an interesting idea. Maybe we have some intermediate server that's kind of a working server. The same way we have a tool server for developers to try out stuff that's not ready for prime time, why don't we have a media tool server that has us try out things that are not ready for final publication, but can host at least the MP4 bits, even if we don't agree to support that codec as an endorsed codec of this community? I think that's an interesting idea as an intermediate staging area that isn't meant for public consumption, but meant for folks who are using it as a workshop, as a place to stage things. So I think there's a possibility of doing that. It's actually not very hard. All we need is a dedicated server space just to have that function, and some type of content management system to do that, or media asset management system. So I think there are some possibilities of us at least finding an experimental space for video content. But right now we actually don't have a lot of video development expertise in the volunteer community. So we need to build that up. Well, I think the most important thing is that if you have any modern type of cell phone, whether it's an Android or iPhone device, you already have a high definition, high quality video storytelling device in your pocket. In fact, I prefer using the iPhone sometimes because it doesn't intimidate anyone. If you're sticking a big camera lens in someone's face or a microphone there, they suddenly change their behavior. If you pull out your cell phone, it's less intimidating because they're used to seeing that. So it's, you don't need the highest end devices to do high end storytelling. And the storytelling is done in the editing. It's not done with how much you spend on your device. So I like to tell people that experiment a lot, try the editing to tighten up your stories, but you don't need the highest end devices to make great stories.